Church. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. I'm glad you took the time and effort to come to God's house. And I hope you've taken the opportunity beforehand to pray for the service, that God may anoint this place and you can hear what God's message is for you this week. Ways of announcements. Be no service tonight, no Awanas tonight, and it'll be the same thing next Sunday. Be just Sunday school and 11 a.m. service, and just keep that in mind, and just thankful for the season. This is the time of year as we as Christians celebrate the birth of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and we wouldn't have it any other way, would we?
Nope.
Wouldn't have it any other way. God always makes plans that are right and true, and we just appreciate everything He does in our life. So with that, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer and get started with our service. Father God, as we just humbly bow, I just want to thank You for another opportunity to be in Your house to listen to Your word and worship You in song and praise and message. Just be with us, loving God and direct us, You always do. And just thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Yes. Remember all those that are sick and infirm that couldn't be here today. And just put Your hand upon this place that when we leave this, we will truly know that You've been here amongst us. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fourth, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
A couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place, for You were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only Son was laid. Oh, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Came many miles and journeys. for you, and to the place at which you were, the frankincense and gold and myrrh, they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To rescue me, this baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you, that rugged cross was my cross too, till every breath you drew was hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Give God praise and glory for that. We don't have the words up on the screen, so we're going old school. If you want to grab a hymnal and turn to page 87 as we sing Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. You may already know this one by heart. You may not need the book, but I do.
Saul's 9, verse 2. I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High.
Adore the child they call Jesus, who quietly came on this holy night. With the angels we sing, crown him the King, give him the glory. Rejoice, for the King over all the earth has come. On this holy night, rejoice and give all glory and honor to Him who will reign forevermore. Prince of this humble King, the Savior of all
ages,
come to the earth.
Alleluia.
He will save us from darkness.
Alleluia.
And forever we will rejoice,
rejoice, rejoice, rejoice for the King. Over all the earth has come. On this holy night, I'll rejoice and give all glory and honor to Him who will reign forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's on. I hope you can hear me. Welcome back to the pulpit, Brother Matthew Clark. And he's been with us before, and he's always preached what the Lord has put upon his heart. And I hope that you continue that trend. So come on, Brother Clark, and give us what the Lord has given you.
That's all I know.
That's a good thing to know.
Amen. Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. But I have to tell you, it shocked me a little bit. Made me kind of nervous when I first came in. Saw all these podiums setting up here, and I was like, they don't need me. They got six preachers. But I want to tell you one more thing before I get started. Maybe she's already gone to children's church. But the blessing for me sitting right there was the young lady standing right here. And I don't think Jerry should get any credit for that. Is that Kaylin? Kaylin. Please don't tell her I said her name wrong. Wasn't she a blessing right here? Oh, man. She knew every word, and she was into it. She was into it. And that, to me, was a blessing because she knew where she was, she knew what she was doing, and who she was singing for. Amen. And that is a blessing. Was she on key? I don't know. Her little mouth was singing it, but I couldn't hear her too well. I don't think she would have kept singing if Mommy had gave her the mic. She's not
like a Clark. We Clarks have never been bashful. Amen. Merry Christmas to you all and welcome to church. I'm so glad you're here. If you haven't been here since Easter, I don't care. I'm still glad you're here. I am thrilled that you came today to be with us. But if that's the only time you came, I hope today you get something that'll bring you back next Sunday. Amen. And I want to apologize to you if you came expecting a Christmas message because I don't have one. We're not going to go to Luke chapter 2. We're not going to go to Matthew 1 or 2. But we are going to talk about that baby in a manger. But most of all, we're not going to talk about the gifts that these guys brought them. We're going to talk about the gifts that he gave us. Amen? Now, I don't know who put this display out. And I didn't control that. And I don't want to hurt your feelings. It's beautiful. It is gorgeous. But the title of my message today is Mythbuster. And so some of you know where I'm going already, don't you? I got news for you. If you've read your Bible, all, not just this nativity scene, but all the nativity scenes that I have ever beheld. Is that appropriate Christmas language? Beheld. It's the only time of year we say that. And the only time you say beloved is at weddings, I think. But anyway, your Mythbuster number one for today is this nativity scene is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's probably expensive. It looks nice. But it's incorrect. Does anybody know why? Those three wise men weren't there, were they? If you read your Bible, and again, we're not going there. You can be going where we are going. We're going to Titus chapter 3. But if you read your Bible, and you should, don't trust what the preacher says. And I might be him. Don't trust what the preacher says. Work it out for yourself. Get into the Word of God. Do your homework. Do your preparation. Get in there and find out what it says. If you read about the three wise men, it says that they had to travel and follow that star, and they went and seen Herod first. And then when they came down there, it said they came in the house. Does that look like a house to you guys? My Bible tells me that Jesus, when he was born, was wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And even King Herod did not believe that the Magi were there yet because when he sent to inquire about Jesus, y'all know why that's in quotation marks, he didn't care about the baby Jesus except for one reason. He wanted to destroy him. He was jealous of him because of what I saw this week on Facebook. I don't know where we got sayings before Facebook, but I saw a saying this week that said, you know what? Thousands of babies have become a king, but only one king became a baby. Amen. Y'all get some, rest of you get that when you wake up. Only Jesus, King Jesus, was born in a manger. And he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we're still working on that today. Amen. But these three wise men, thank God for their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when they brought it, Jesus was probably walking. He was a toddler by then. And how do you know that, preacher? King Herod knew, I want to go out and kill all the babies in the area, 2 years old and under, to make sure I get the right one. But go and read about it. It's a wonderful story. It's another miracle. Do you know the number of miracles that occurred just before Christ was born? All the appearances of angels telling them, flee, get out of here. And it was ever meant to fulfill the scripture and the prophecies of the Old Testament. Isn't it wonderful? The Bible goes together. The Old Testament points toward Christ. The New Testament points back toward Christ. It's all about Christ. And that's why Christ is the first part of Christmas. Amen? Give me more of Christ in Christmas. That's what it's all about. Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, I could please some of you by folding my Bible and saying that was my message. Jesus is the reason for the season. But I want to please all of you. So those of you that came for an hour-long message, you're up next. Because I asked, I said, if you want an hour, give me an hour's worth of water. Thank you, brother. It's good to be with you. Doesn't matter who I am, but I'm nobody without Jesus. But because of Him, I'm somebody telling everybody about the one who saved my soul. Let's look this morning together in Titus chapter 3. Now, if we had read the Christmas story, we probably would have read 19 or 20 verses. I'm going to let you out this morning with only 15. Somebody say amen. That's good. All right, let's get in the Word of God together this morning. I do covet your prayers. I want to be exactly in the will of God. I don't want to say anything that doesn't bring glory and honor to Him and that will edify you, the church, because we all need more of Jesus. Let's read together. Titus chapter 3, panic. But put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates or judges, to be ready to every good work. Everybody say good work. Think we should obey the speed limit? Think we Christians should stay out of the court of law? Think we should obey? You think we should be guilty of breaking the laws of man? The Word of God says, as long as it doesn't go against God, we should be obedient to the magistrates. We should obey the laws that we are subject to. Goes on to say, to speak evil of no man. Man, that's a hard one, isn't it? What about my neighbor that put those pink flamingos in there as a prank in my yard when the ground froze? Should I speak evil of him? It said no man. What about that boss that looked me over for the promotion and gave it to an undeserving soul? Should I talk about them? Should I run them down? Titus is pretty clear. This message from Paul to Titus, speak evil of no man. I've been guilty of that one. That one's a tough one. Look what else he says. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. My goodness, there's a message in itself in the first two verses, isn't it? Well, we want to get to our key verse, verse number 5. Let's get there. Verse 3, for we ourselves, remember, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. I've been there. Disobedient. I'm guilty. So are you. Deceived. Some of the deceptions before us, isn't it? Are we to believe those three wise men were actually there at the manger? That's what nativity scene manufacturers want you to believe. There's a whole nother sermon on just the controversy of nativity scenes. Look it up sometimes. It's been in the Supreme Court in our land in the last 10 years. Why? Because Jesus came proclaiming the truth, and it doesn't make everyone happy. Let's continue. Look what he says. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Verse 3 is saying that's where we were at, church. We used to be there. How do you know that, preacher? For all have sinned. For all have come short of the glory of God. All were at one time in need of a Savior. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need a Savior. I'll give Him to you today for free. Listen, look what he says. There's a big theological word there in verse 4. It takes care of everything listed in verse 3. But after that condition, after those sins, after that disobedience, after all those problems, but after that,
the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. And so here's our key verse. Look at verse 5. Here's our second myth of the day. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray together. If you'll pray for me, please bow your head and join together now. In Jesus' name, we ask You, Father, bless the reading of Your Word. Bless our time together. Lord, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. But God, we quickly remember it wasn't the birth that saved us, it was the death. And God, as much as it hurts our heart to think about baby Jesus being born in that manger and no room for Him in the inn, God, we realize He was born to die, and that was because of our sin. Because we needed a plan of salvation, and Jesus said, I'll take care of it. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for taking my place on my cross and suffering that cruel death in my place so that I could live free by the grace of God that has appeared to all men. Now, Lord, bless us and bless our time together. Forgive us of our shortcomings and our failures. Forgive us of our procrastination and our frustration. And God, help us to look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Myth number two. There's a bunch. But myth number two, being good saves you. It does not. That's a myth. If you get to the judgment and you've got two pieces of paper and on the left side, all the things that you've done bad, and there's a lot of them, and then over on the right side, all the good things you've done, if one outweighs the other, He'll let you into heaven. That's a myth. We're busting that myth here today. That's not true. The devil has lied to you. If you believe that you are capable enough, strong enough, powerful enough, and goody-two-shoes just enough to squeak your way into God's holy and pure eternal heaven, you're wrong. That's a myth. That's a lie. That's deception. That's straight out of the pits of hell. That's not what saves us. It's the redeeming blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary that takes care of every sin I've ever committed. It's the forgiveness of sin through Christ and Christ alone. That's what saves us. Nothing more. See, we've fallen into a trap. The devil lays out a trap and he says, yeah, Jesus can save you, but you need to keep it. That's not true either. You can't keep it because you're not worthy enough. You're not holy enough. You still need the blood. You need the blood of Jesus. I do too. We all do. I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace and grace alone. If it was anything else, Jesus didn't have to die. But Jesus did die, didn't He? He died a cruel death. He was bruised for our iniquities, for our wrongdoings. But here's what we think. What if I give enough away? What if I give things to others? What if I bless someone so that they'll have a good Christmas? There's another myth. That's what people think. What if I put a 20 in the plate every Sunday? Church attendance doesn't save you. Good deeds doesn't save you. Going everywhere, whatever you do, going on mission trips does not save you. Hello? You know how I know that, Brother John? Because if it did, I'd have a lot more people going with me when I go. Come, hey, but it's a sacrifice. Now let me make something very clear. I'm going to say a lot of things, and I don't want you to get the opinion that they're not good. They're very good. It's good to give others. It's good to bless those that are less fortunate. It's great to take care of the orphans and the widows. These are good works and good things, and we should do them. But it does not earn salvation. Let's read a few more verses. Let's talk about that blood. Look at the grace that we get in verse 6. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, God's riches at Christ
expense. He paid it all. I didn't. It was a debt that I could not pay. What about a portion of it? Let's talk about, since it's the season of shopping. Any of you going shopping today? You're afraid to admit that I'm going to accuse you of waiting until Mary's water broke, right? You're celebrating. If you're shopping today, you're celebrating. Oh, her water broke. It's time to go shopping. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. On the authority of God's Word, 99% is not good enough. Do you hear me? If you've been good, 99%. See, this is what we teach our kids about Christmas. If you've been good, if you're not naughty, it'll be all right. But I saw another one on Facebook. Man, that preacher spends way too much time on Facebook, don't he? You know why I'm on Facebook looking at these sayings? You all are putting them on there. And I feel obligated to read them. Another one said this. Said, basically, don't worry, honey. If you weren't good enough for Santa Claus to get it for you, the tax return fairy will. Man, those that laughed, I don't know if it's a nervous laugh or what, but they're like, hope that tax return check comes first because that credit card bill in January is huge. Amen, but it's biblical, right? Another myth buster. Preacher, you're killing us with all these myth busters. But look, if 99%, if being good, if good works could get me into heaven, wouldn't the equivalent of that be true? Bad works will get me out? Is there anybody in here this morning that's innocent and pure and hasn't even had a bad thought about the preacher yet? Give me time, I'll get you there. But we are not good people. The Bible teaches us, Paul said, the apostle who wrote most of the New Testament, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And Paul said, the things that I know I should do, I know I should be about good things, I find myself not doing them. Man, yesterday we celebrated Christmas with my mom. And we always have a good time. And my mom makes me some good treats. My mom is the very reason I got to make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to have to buy a treadmill. Thanks a lot, Mom. But I'm going to confess to you, leading up to last night's events, I was some of this in here. I was hateful. Why? Because it's so frustrating. It's so stressful. Did I get the right gift? Is she going to like it? Did I make the right dessert? Are they going to eat it? Am I going to have to take it back home and eat it myself? Oh, well. Huh? Am I the only one? Does anybody else get frustrated at Christmas? Yes, be honest. Come on, does anybody else get frustrated? Thank you for being honest. Anybody? I've noticed something already. Only the women are frustrated because you men don't even know what you're buying people. You're just as surprised on Christmas morning as they are. I got you that. That's wonderful. Men, we're not stressed out because our women are taking care of us. My wife takes care of all the buying, all the shopping. I bought one thing, and I'll boast about it. Huh? But it's stressful. Let's be honest. It's a stressful time because we're comparing to each other. Here's a reason to stay off of Facebook. It's touched up. It's glossified. It's staged. Hello? They're not having a perfect Christmas either. They're eating fruitcake too, just like us. I like fruitcake. Okay, if y'all want to reject your gifts, I'll take your fruitcake. But I got to stack it behind my mom's cream cheese pound cake, okay? I got to eat it first, all right? But look at this. We were guilty of all these things. We ourselves were once sometimes foolish, disobedient. I've been there, deceived, serving divers lusts. James said it like this. You have not because you ask not. But when you do ask, you ask amiss just so you can consume it upon your lust. Yeah, I might still be talking about the pound cake. But I'm still talking about our lustful flesh. When we give in to it, we're committing sin and we're not going to heaven unless God forgives us. And the only way He can do that is through the blood of His precious Son, Jesus. That's the Christmas story. Jesus came in a manger, but praise God, He didn't stay there. He also went to the cross. But praise God, He didn't stay there. They took Him down and put Him in a bar or two. But on the third and appointed morning, according to the Scriptures, He rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, so that I could be victorious and so you could be saved. He didn't stay there either. He's went to heaven. Listen to me, church. He's gone to heaven and He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. But He's not going to stay there either. He's coming again. Man, that's something to be excited about, isn't it? Don't praise God for the gifts. Praise God for Jesus. He is the gift. The greatest gift we've ever received. And it's free. You can't get it at Macy's. You can't order it online. But you can have it here today for the low, low price of free, free, free. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God for the blood. Now I'll try to come to a close. But it's tough. It's a good place to be. Listen to me, church. Thinking you can make it on your own. It's not just a myth. It's a lie. And it's a good lie. It's the best lie there is. Because it'll deceive you into thinking that you're okay. I've had people come at the invitation and say, "Brother, forgive me. I taught Sunday school for 10 years and wasn't even saved." It happens. I can take you and show you people that served their church and served it well. And they were on their way to hell. And they were deceived in their own heart. They thought they were good enough. Listen, there's good works. And we're saved unto good works. You believe me? Let me show you. Same text. Let's finish the book. Look what he says. How far did we make it? 6? 7? Let's read 7 again. That being justified by His grace, not ours, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How many of you have earned your daddy's goods when he dies and leaves here? You didn't earn it. You're the heir because you were born into it. And Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Ye must be born again." Hey, I was born in 74 to my daddy's inheritance, which is probably going to be a small farm in Jonesville, and I hope I don't have to work it. Oh, but to come along to 81, I got born again, and I got to be an heir with Jesus. He's my big brother, and I get heaven for free. Do you? Are you an heir of God today? You can be. How? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to show you in just a second. Look here, let's finish this. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. You know what? That's Paul. That's Paul showing Titus what he should be saying to his church over 2,000 years ago. And now today, God laid it on my heart to tell this church the same thing. Why? Because it's still needful and it's still good. And for a limited time, listen to me, for a limited time, this deal is still available to you if you'll take advantage of it. It's going to be offered. Now look at this. I want you to affirm it constantly that they which have, look at the order. It's important, the order of operations right here. That they which have believed in God, the saved, the born again, they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. It never said that they got saved by good works. There was a good opportunity there, but Paul knew better. And Paul said, tell your church, the believers, the born again, those that are following God, saved by grace, tell them to keep up the good works. Why? Why would we do that? If we can't earn salvation, what's the point? I'll tell you the point. Because over in the book of Psalms, there's a verse you're probably familiar with. Maybe you've read it at a funeral home lately. It says, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for what? Whew, praise the Lord. Y'all been doing your homework. For his name's sake. I've seen you all. I've seen some of you. Especially John Franklin over there. I've seen him because I do it too. Me and him got really nice jackets. Don't we, buddy? It says Virginia Energy on it. Don't it? It's worn too, ain't it? And if the rain comes down, we got another one. Puts right on over it, attaches to it. And we wear it with pride, don't we, buddy? Huh? You know why? Because there's a little disclaimer. When you receive the jacket, there's a little disclaimer over in the policy handbook. I probably should tell him we work together, John. It wasn't like me and him went shopping and said, let's get matching jackets. We work at the same company. But our company tells us, ye shall behave when you're representing us. How would you like it if you run a business and your last name is plastered all over the back of the jacket, plastered all over that magnet strip on the side of the truck, and you're out there breaking the law, doing bad things, getting drunk in the middle of the day and having accidents, all in the name of the company? Well, imagine how Jesus must feel on Sunday morning when we sleep in and don't make it to His house to celebrate Him and to rejoice like the choir sang about when He is concerned about His namesake. I don't know how you all feel about it, but some of us need to take the fish off of our bumper sticker because Jesus ain't too happy. Huh? And then when we do get a speeding ticket, we'll go to the court of law. Please, Jesus, get me out of this. There's another myth, isn't it? I've prayed in the courthouse. I know you have too. Also, tell a funny joke real quick. Not anything to do with this couple right here. This is a fine, outstanding couple, I'm sure. But I was in North Carolina one time. And I was preaching a similar message. Speeding came up. I don't know why. Maybe because I just got a ticket. Right after service, lady came up to me. How'd you know I got a ticket? Well, I said, I didn't until now. She let it out of the bag. She was feeling guilty. Maybe that was her confession. But I don't know your lives. I don't know how you feel about Christmas. I don't know how you feel about this myth. But I want you to know the truth. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Listen, if I didn't love you, if I didn't love God, if I didn't care about His Word, I'd come down here and pat you on the back and say, Merry Christmas, enjoy the way you're living. But that's not good enough. It's good to tell you when you're doing wrong. Man, I usually don't get an amen on that one. Thank you. Checks in the mail. Listen, God loves you enough that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. And if I didn't tell you that, I'd be held accountable when I stand before the judgment. Let's finish up. I want to tell you about the judgment. I'm going to stand there. And I'm going to give an account. The Bible says of every deed that we've ever done. Both good and bad. And you know what's going to happen to the good? It's going to be purified and magnified and elevated and lifted up. And if it's enough, it's going to get me a crown. The crown of righteousness. Brother, can you see me wearing that? Huh? Envision it, would you? Work with me. Yeah, there you go. Squint. Close your eyes. He still couldn't see it. I'm going to look good in that crown. But you know what I want that crown for? The same reason you want it. Yes, sir. I want to bow down and I want to cast it at the King's feet. And I want to enter into the joys of the Lord. But you know what? All that bad. What's going to happen to that bad? Whew, man, I'm worried about that other side of the list, aren't you? I'm not that good, neither are you. But what about all that bad? We're going to be judged for it. But if it's under the blood, if it's under the blood, Jesus will say, this one's mine. And I want to show Him mercy. I want to show Him grace. I pardoned Him a long time ago. Let Him come into the joys of the Lord. Let me tell you something, though. If you stand before the other judgment and you don't have the blood of Jesus, you never made a relationship with Him. You can't call upon Him then. It'll be too late. The Bible says you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And you will experience an everlasting death. You won't just die and it be over with. We're not preaching about hell today, but we could. Because it's an awful real place. Is that another myth? People think hell's not real. Hell is real today, and there's people in there with weeping and gnashing of teeth, wondering, can I get out? Begging for one drop of water. How do you know that, preacher? It's in the book! And I believe it's true. I also believe He's coming again. I also believe I can't earn salvation, but I'm thankful that I've got it. How did I get it? I got it from Jesus! And I want to maintain good works. Because I don't want to bring Him shame. I don't want to bring reproach to His name. If He was good enough to love me when I was unlovable, the least I can do is live for Him. Amen? And you know what the Bible calls that? It's your reasonable service. It's reasonable to be expected for you to live for Him and to live the best life you can. Will you ever be perfect? I don't think so. But we should strive toward good works. Let's come to a close. I want to read you another scripture after we finish here. Look what else it says. These things are good and profitable unto men. In other words, let your good conversation win their heart toward Jesus. Let everyone, the whole world, see a change in you. Hey, don't you believe in the grace of God when you see a drunk lay down a bottle and come to God and become a deacon? I do, because he was my uncle. And I watched him for years drop my aunt off at the back door and stay outside. He didn't want no part of her Jesus. Until one night, the Holy Spirit drawed him in and he fell on his knees and confessed it all. And he got grace. And he got forgiveness because he said, I can't earn it. But Lord, I need it. And he got it. And he lived a great, he wasn't sinless after that, but he lived a good life. He didn't just take my aunt to church and send her anymore. He took her in because he was the deacon. Huh? We ain't got time to preach a message on deacons. That'll be another sermon for a whole nother time. That's a week's revival right there, hey? Huh? Let's finish. One preacher told me when he says, let's finish up, that means that's the 30-minute mark. He's not here today. Looky here. This next verse tells me that there was something going on down at this church. He said, Titus, verse 9, but you need to avoid those foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Anybody strive about the law? That's why we have the Supreme Court in our land, right? Somebody's striving about the law all the time. Well, I think we should. And I think we shouldn't. Man's opinions creep into the church instead of going to the Word of God. It should be the final say-so, shouldn't it? My opinion doesn't matter. Your feelings are important to me, but they don't overrule the Word of God. But I'll tell you this, when I came in and seen that nativity scene, I was like, oh no. Am I really going to talk about the myth of the wise men? Look at that gorgeous thing sitting there. And God said, I said, do it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If Matthew Clark hurts your feelings, you come to Matthew. You and him get together. You talk it out and pray together. But if the Word of God offends you, I'll take it up with him and you will too. And hopefully we'll do it together. It was done said here this morning. We need some togetherness because we're going to be together up there. All right, let's finish. Look what he says. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, just reject him. You've already tried. You've done your duty. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Love him. Warn him. Speak truth to him. Welcome him. But it's not on you. He's condemning him on self. You've given him the truth. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychius, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Also bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. Look at the concern. Paul's telling Titus, I want to take care of them boys. Make sure they're okay. Then he says, and let ours, look at this, apostrophe S, and let ours also, our what? Our followers, our church members, our fellow believers, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Huh. That tells me that what was going on down there at that church, I pray it's not here, but God knows. What was going on down there is they were fighting and arguing over the law and how things should be. They were having some strife and some contention over who... He asked for a lawyer. Isn't that funny? That's a little odd, ain't it? If we agree together and ask the Holy Spirit to be our governor, we won't need a lawyer. Come on! Now see, I don't know your life because there's probably somebody in here and that's your work of occupation. You're a lawyer during the week. I don't know that. But if so, if the shoe fits, right? We love lawyers! We're glad you're here. We need you. But look what he says. Bring the lawyer. And he says that those good works are necessary to be productive. To be fruitful. We should do good things. We should give to others. We should make sure somebody has a good Christmas. About 3 weeks ago, there was a group of us got together and we donated and we worked and we shopped and we went over to Kentucky and we made sure that 408 people had a good Christmas. We gave. We gave and we traveled and we sacrificed. Those are good works. And yes, I'm pleased and proud that we did those things, but that's not getting me to heaven. What did Paul say in the 13th chapter of the book of Corinthians? Though I give it all, even have my body burned at the stake, if I don't have love, it doesn't profit anything. Paul knew where he's at. That wasn't getting him in. It's not about how good you are. It's about how great God is. And God's grace is sufficient. Last two verses. All that are with me, salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. And if you'll study the Word of God throughout the New Testament, when Paul sends a message to any church or any fellow believer, he'll say, grace. Grace be with you all. Amen. And this says in my Bible, it was written to Titus, ordained the first bishop of the church of the Cretans from Nicopolis of Macedonia. Now what if we just wrote, and Matthew preached this message to the church of the Thomas Village of the Duffield, Virginia. Wow. I insert my name in the scripture all the time, don't you? Because we should be there. Now I want to close from the book of Romans chapter 10. Earlier, you may have been asking that question, how can I get this Jesus that you're preaching about? I've seen Him in the nativity scene. I've seen Him in the manger. I've seen Him on the cross. I've heard about Him being in the tomb. How do I get Him out of there and into my heart? It's so simple. And here it is. I'll give you a reference to Acts chapter 16, verse 30, 31, one of those two. There's a jailer down there. He asked that same question. How? How can I be saved? And Paul told him, he said, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. How simple is that? It's got to be harder than that, preacher. I know because I filled out an application for a mortgage. And I know how hard that is. Getting eternal life and a home in heaven has to be just as hard. That's why we have lawyers. Thank you, Lord. It's that simple because I know as a little boy on those steps with that orange clad carpet going up into the baptistry of a church up there in Big Stone Gap, as a little boy, I prayed the prayer that saved my heart. And God came in and began to dwell with me through and by the Holy Spirit. But I want to read to you what the church at Rome heard. Chapter 10, verse 9. What must I do to be saved, you say today? I say this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, preacher, don't you need an example since you didn't have 3 points in a poem? You're right, I do. There was two thieves on that cross that day. Bible says two malefactors, one on the left, one on the right, Jesus in the middle. One of them railed on Jesus and said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. The other thief, after a while, began to put it all together. There was no preaching on the ground that day because the preacher was on the cross. But in his mind, he recognized the Savior. He saw the events. He saw what was going on. He railed on that other thief. And he said, don't you fear God? We get what we deserve, but this man in the middle, Jesus, has done nothing worthy of death. Even the thief. And he looked to the Savior of the world that had come out of this manger. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into the kingdom, when you come into paradise. You know what Jesus said to him? This day, wait a minute, today, the Bible does say today is the day of salvation. Jesus told that thief he was wrong. Sometimes I bet he was hateful. He was deceived for a while. He was disobedient. Hello? We know he was guilty of something. He's dying on a cross. He was worthy of death. So are you. So am I. But Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Do you know what that is? Does anybody know what that is? Grace. That's grace because he deserved death. He was about to get it. Now I want to show you something. Here's the proof. Truth needs proof, doesn't it? Oh Lord, forgive me. Why does he do me this way? These still exist. They're still real. It still happened. This must be the guy with gold, right? Ha! They still came to Jesus. They still brought him gifts. That don't look right, does it? They were just afar off. One of those camels looks confused. You know, God's powerful. I would have never thought of that on my own. But I'm a visual learner. I bet you are too. I don't know what it does for you, but it gives me great peace to know my Savior was a King in glory. And he put on himself the form of a servant. The Hebrew writer says he became lower than the angels. Why would he do that? Because in John chapter 3, men love darkness rather than light. Their deeds were evil. That was me. But he gave me peace. I have peace in my heart today. Do you? As they get a song, I want to give an invitation. I want to invite you to come and get the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It don't make any sense to me how a wretched sinner deserves grace and can obtain peace because of a baby born of a Virgin Mary. Jesus is not in that manger anymore. Hey, in the morning when my family gets up, there'll be a cake. A cake sitting there dedicated to Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. And the very first thing we'll do is sing happy birthday. That's what we do. We're going to celebrate the Lord. Before the first gift is given out, before we read Luke chapter 2, we're going to sing happy birthday to Jesus. Why? Why does the world celebrate a Savior? Because it's the only way to heaven. And He chose us all. He said, whosoever will. Even me, a wretched sinner, yes, even me. He loved us all that much. Now, how, Lord? How do we close this? As we stand to our feet, I ask you today, to celebrate the Christ of Christmas, do you need to come? Do you need to come for salvation? It's here. I'll pray with you. I'll read to you again just what the Word of God says. My opinion can't save you. Nothing that I think, nothing that I do can save you. Nothing that you can do can save you. But the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, His grace is sufficient to save you. Will you come? Maybe there's something else you need. Maybe you've been born again. Christmas is hard because of a loved one that's not here this year. There's grace for that. My Bible calls God the God of all comfort because He can comfort the comfortless. He'll be there for you. There's something else available here today. Maybe you need forgiveness. You're born again, but you haven't always lived it. You can come and you can receive forgiveness from God, and I guarantee you He will help you earn the forgiveness of who you've wronged. That's in the Bible. His name is Zacchaeus. Would there be one that says, I need the grace and the peace that comes from the Christ of Christmas? Come. Come to Jesus. One more. Maybe you're here today and God's called you to do something and you're resisting. Your white knuckles are preventing you from surrendering to God. Has He called you to lead? Has He called you to minister? Has He called you to go overseas to spread the gospel? I don't know. But I want to tell you this. His grace is sufficient. His grace can meet every need. Will you come to Him? Will you come now and pray with us? Well, brother, I would come, but I'm afraid of that COVID thing. I will pray at you, with you, or for you. But come. Come to Jesus. Come. Don't wait. Do you need to pray? Would there be one? Can you face tomorrow? Of course, preacher, it's Christmas. What a Christmas it would be if you were born again and on your way to heaven and knew the true meaning, because Jesus is the only reason for the season. And I love fruitcake, I do. But if there is no Jesus, there's no reason to celebrate. Would there be another who needs to pray? Would there be another one? Would anybody like to come and pray? Do you need Jesus? Let me show you what the Word of God says about how you too can bust a myth that the world has told us. You're good enough. You're fine just like you are. You don't need to go up there and embarrass yourself. But you do need to publicly confess Jesus. For only those who have been born again shall enter into His presence. That's why He came. Thank you. As we close, I want to read something to you. I don't take credit for this, but I really liked it. Don't know where I got it. Something I had in my Bible. It seems to be fitting for today's message. It says this, author unknown, people who die, young or old, they don't become angels. A lot of people say that, don't they? Not everyone who dies goes to heaven. Man, that's a sobering fact right there, isn't it? Did you ever read the obituaries and wonder, did they go to heaven or did they go to hell? We should be concerned about that. Jesus said there would only be a few, according to Matthew 7:14. Listen to this. Dad may pray for you, but Dad can't put you in heaven. You may join a church, but membership can't get you there. Being baptized won't get you into heaven. Remember that thief on the cross? How silly that would have been to baptize a corpse. Think about it.
He didn't do any good works either, did he? A minister may speak at your funeral. I've preached many of them. But a minister cannot preach you into heaven. Doing a lot of good things is great, but it will not gain you access. There's only one way for your journey on earth to end well. Jesus said it this way, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You can find that in John chapter 14, verse 6. So what to do? What to do? Repent of your sin, believe on Jesus, follow Him, and leave this world clinging to Him in faith, knowing He has you in His hands because His grace is sufficient. I don't know how y'all close out Christmas services. This has been a wonderful place to be. I've enjoyed it. But I feel led to ask you, if you had one more moment, one or more opportunity, what would you say? Anybody got a word before we head out the doors? I've left you plenty of time to go eat, I think. Anybody got a word? Testimony. You want your family to know where you're going to spend eternity? You're going to live forever somewhere. Amen. Amen. Glory. Would there be another? Yes. Yes, continue to pray. I just got me two granddaughters this year. I'm already praying for them. Lord, please save them. I want us to be together in heaven, and I'm going. And when they become of the age of accountability, they need to make a profession of faith. Papa can't save them as much as I want to, but I'm going to live a life in front of them. That's that good works. It's productive. Anybody else got productive fruit? Let's hear it. If not, brother, I'll have to turn it back over to you because you may have an announcement. I did hear that there's no service tonight, so be cautious of that. Please have a very blessed and merry Christmas. And if I don't see you again, Happy New Year.
For what the Lord's got put on your heart, and we appreciate you being obedient to the Lord. And is all minds and hearts clear? Because this is the day. If you don't know the Lord, this could be the day.
Amen.
Don't leave this place and go out there and not even make it to the red light over there and get in a car wreck and die. Absolutely.
I'm just glad that I surrendered to the Holy Spirit's
yes.
Leading, and I'm just grateful.
Yes.
He saved me and my life has changed.
Yes.
Your pride can sometimes get in the way.
Yeah, don't let pride. That's right.
More time, but you need to deal with it now.
Amen. Thank you, sister. And all hearts and minds are clear. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. So, Father God, it is truly a blessing to be in your house when you show up and show out. And if there's still one today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, come get one of the deacons, come get me, we'll talk about it. But just don't leave this place without knowing in your heart that that's what you need to do. And just be with us, love us, guide us, direct us, you always do. Be with all those who are sick and infirm who couldn't be here.
Yes.
And just, we love you, Jesus. Thank you for giving your son, Jesus, for Savior for our sins. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.